if you have a product that you don't 100% believe in, you're in the wrong game, right? So that's first of all. You definitely want to work with a company that is viable, you believe in the product, you use the product, you love the product, right? It just, that comes across on the phone to guys when you're cold calling and prospecting. They hear that excitement and that energy and that passion in your voice. That's 60% of the problem as far as I'm concerned. So to me, that's number one.
Hi, this is Josh. This is Inside Selling, a podcast about selling without selling your soul, where I explore how you can make selling more delightful, not only for yourself, but for your prospects through the simple acts of being curious, caring, and making people smile. Today on the big show, Seth Weinstock, the sales director of Connect and Sell. This guy's been doing outbound since before it was fashionable, since before there was inbound. Seth, thank you so much for joining the show today.
It's my pleasure, Josh. Thanks for having me. I'm honored.
So Seth, you and I were speaking a little bit before, and I want to talk about cold calling. And before we kind of get into what's made you so successful on the phone, I want to step back a little bit and get your perspective on why cold calling is so freaking hard. And I just want to groove on that a little bit. Just kind of get your thoughts on it. You've been in the game a while.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple different reasons why people struggle with picking up the phone. For one, I think it's messaging. So, you know, people have to make sure that their messaging is tight. They're not always sure who their target persona is, so they're not always sure what that message should sound like. Number two is you have to do the work, right? Cold calling is definitely not for lazy people. So, and you have to remember 95% of the time when you're picking up the phone and you're outbound dialing for a prospect, you spend it doing, you know, $3 an hour grunt work, dealing with gatekeepers and voicemails and phone trees. So that can get a little tedious and can definitely get frustrating. And I think that's some of the hesitation that keeps, you know, good sales reps from using the phone.
Yeah, talk to me also, Seth, to hear your perspective on this. You know, most of the time when you call someone, they're not shopping or actively thinking about your thing or potentially the problem that you solve. So you're really kind of catching them off guard. Is that something too that makes cold calling really tricky and hard and kind of soul crushing a little bit? Because most of the time you are kind of being rejected because I'm not really shopping for your thing. You're kind of calling me out of the blue.
Yeah, I agree totally. So when I was younger and I was coaching teams, I used to tell people that you have to have that cornerback mentality, right? You're going to get beat for a touchdown most of the time, but you got to kind of just move on to that next call. You have to make sure that you're dropping the, that wall that's between you and the prospect on the other end of the line, and make sure you're adding quick value and your value prop in that quick, 20-second elevator pitch in order to get engagement and almost ask for that extra minute or two where you can at least take that call down the road a little bit.
Okay, I gotcha. Why do you think a lot of reps are, and even entrepreneurs, afraid to kind of pick up the phone? Maybe not afraid is the right word, but they kind of do whatever they need to do so that they don't have to pick up the phone, whether that's maybe in a CRM or I'm shooting off emails or, you know, just doing anything I can do to not pick up the phone. Where do you think that fear is coming from? It's very real. And to be honest, I experience it too sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, 100% it's because of the waste and frustration that you're dealing with when you're picking up the phone, right? So if I told you, hey, Josh, you know, you hate picking up the phone because you're dealing with gatekeepers and voicemails and phone trees 95% of the time, but if I can give you conversations with your targeted prospect every time you picked up the phone, you'd be more apt to do that.
Okay, that does bring me to my second question, and maybe this is where we're going to maybe disagree a little bit. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. When you actually do get someone on the phone that you want to talk to, what do you feel is the goal of the cold call? This might seem like a blatantly obvious question.
Yeah, so you have to remember that, like you mentioned before, you're catching them off target. They don't know that you're solving a problem. They don't even know that they have a problem. So I think in that window, what your goal as a rep is, or SDR or AE, whatever that looks like on a cold call, your goal is to get them to buy into your value prop, realize that this is a conversation that's worth having, build value, and then ask for time on their calendar one day later in the week or next week, where you can both set a set time, both set that 30 minutes aside where you know it's happening, you know it's a meeting, you can do some research, they can do some research, you can both be engaged on the same topic.
Okay, now that does kind of create this philosophy, if I understand you right, that what you are calling about is something that is needed by that prospect. You mentioned, you know, telling them about my value proposition and why I need more minutes, some minutes of your time. My take on it is, and I'd be very curious to hear your perspective, is I think that's where a lot of the pressure comes in, is that when we assume the thing that we have, even though it's a benefit, is a benefit to the person that when we're calling. And sometimes it's not, right? Sometimes for whatever reason, it's not a great fit or the timing's bad. And I think a lot of this pressure comes from assuming. And so when I cold call and when I coach cold calling, I'm pretty big on getting to the truth. And sometimes the truth is it's not a fit. And sometimes the truth is we want to have the conversation. But this feeling of I have to book the meeting and this value proposition is perfect for everyone and I have to book the meeting at no cost, I think that's where some of the pressure comes in. You know, feel free to push back or disagree on that, but I wanted to kind of get your perspective on, is the goal to really set a meeting or is it to see if the prospect has a problem that you might be able to help them with? And then if so, if it makes sense to kind of continue the conversation. There's a little subtle difference there.
Yeah, I think they go hand in hand, right? So first thing I want to say, Josh, is that if you have a product that you don't 100% believe in, you're in the wrong game, right? So that's first of all. You definitely want to work with a company that is viable, you believe in the product, you use the product, you love the product, right? It just, that comes across on the phone to guys when you're cold calling and prospecting. They hear that excitement and that energy and that passion in your voice. That's 60% of the problem as far as I'm concerned. So to me, that's number one. Number two is, yeah, I mean, the quicker you get to no's, the quicker you can get to a yes, right? So it's not a fit for everybody, right? We don't all wear size 12. That's why Baskin-Robbins has, you know, 52 flavors, because we don't all want vanilla or chocolate. But the quicker you can get to that and not waste time, the quicker you can get to the yeses and get to the guys who do have a problem that you can solve and who are interested in talking to you about your product and move that down the road.
I think you make a really good point. And a lot of the people that I talk to that are just becoming SDRs, or they're graduating from college and looking to become SDRs, this idea of believing in the product that you're selling and that it really can help. You know, based on your experience, tell me about what happens if you don't really believe in it, or you think it's, hey, I just got this job and I'm doing this thing, I'm making these calls. I guess I got this thing that helps, I'm not sure. Or I'm selling this thing that's a commoditized product. Maybe it's a CRM or it's a point of sale solution, one of many. I don't understand why it's different or why someone should switch. You mentioned that kind of comes through on the call, or?
Yeah, 100%. So I call those guys box checkers, right? I'm just here because I get a check. I'm here because I have nothing else to do 9 to 5. I could be selling this widget or that widget or this service or that service. It's all the same to me. It's almost like I had this conversation with my son not too long ago. We were talking about commercials and guys when they do commercials. My son asked me, he's like, you know, does LeBron really use that body spray? Or does this guy really use that product? So I think in sales, to me, passion is the number one thing. You got to be passionate about what you do and about what you bring to the table, because that comes through on the other end of the phone. It gets that engagement. It drops that wall between you and the prospect. And then they get excited about what you have because they can hear the passion and excitement in your voice.
Totally. And even if you're working for a company where you don't believe you have the greatest thing since sliced bread, perhaps you can find one thing about the product that you think is amazing for a particular group of people and kind of get jacked up that way. But I think your point is, if you're kind of flat and you don't understand how it helps anybody, to your point, that's going to kind of come through on the phone.
Yeah, 100%. And a lot of it goes back to sales leaders as well, Josh. Product knowledge, right? I think our training processes are falling down a little bit as we implement all these new fun tools and softwares and sales stacks. We forget about the human element sometimes, right? We forget about a guy that's onboarding. You know, back in the day when I started, you know, it was a 6-month onboarding process before you even got on the phone. Product knowledge, you know, list knowledge, you know, just different things that you had to go through and run the gamut before they even thought that you were knowledgeable enough to have a conversation about their product or their service or present their business in a positive light.
Totally. One of the things I'd love to get your perspective on too, imagine you're a college graduate, you've never done this job before, and you're calling C-level people that are, like, say, chief marketing officers that have been in this game for 15 or 20 years. You don't know what it's like to walk in their shoes. You don't know what a day in the life is of the people that you're calling because you've never done the job. What kind of advice can you give to SDRs in that situation to better understand the people that they're calling so that they know how they might be able to make their lives a little bit better?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the thing that I recommend, and I talk to young SDRs and I mentor a lot of young reps all over the country, the first thing I would recommend is go internally. Have those internal conversations with your CMO, your CEO, your CRO, your VP of sales, see what it's like to walk in their shoes every day. You know, what they're responsible for, what their thought processes are, things that they care about, things that matter to them, things that they want to discuss, things they don't want to discuss, what their hot buttons are. Once you do that internally, you'll get a better idea of what your conversation sounds like to somebody you don't know. It just makes the whole process easier. It gives you context, right? So I always talk to young reps about context. The reason why you're not as successful as a more seasoned rep is you don't have the context. You don't know what each situation looks like and what each conversation is going to be like because you haven't done it before.
And what do you think about a SDR, if the company allows it, to talk to some customers? So maybe it's you're selling to marketing directors and you're an SDR. You don't know what it's like to be a marketing director. I don't know what it's like to be a marketing director. What about this idea of saying to your sales manager, hey, could I talk to a couple customers and ask a few questions to understand a little bit about how we help them and a little bit about the day in the life, just so I can be more empathetic and understand, you know, their world a little bit and feel more confident of who I'm calling?
Yeah, that could never be a bad thing, especially if you have a good client. If you have a good product and you have a good customer base, you have those customers that are willing to do that, right? Because they're just as passionate about your product as you are, so they want to see you and the company be successful. So those are definitely conversations that the SDR can have with a CMO of ABC company. Hey, why did you buy our product? What intrigued you about our product? What was that first phone call like? What was that buying process like? What did the budget look like? How did we get to that point? Where did we start? Where did we finish? So those are all conversations that, you know, with a good customer base you can have, and that can be transformational for any SDR.
Yeah, and something else that I've also told SDRs to do that I've worked with is also go into Google and type in top challenges of marketing directors. You know, just something as simple as that. You can start to get a lay of the land. You'll start to see four or five themes kind of popping up all the time. Again, in this area of trying to get yourself into the shoes of the prospect.
Yeah, and another good tool, I mean, that's great to your point, Josh. Another good tool is, you know, just go old school, man. There's books out there, Amazon, eBay. You can still put them on your iPhone for all your new millennials, all your fancy technology. Plug the iPods in, you're riding in your Maserati, and, you know, you can listen to those eBooks. There's great knowledge in books, and I think, you know, we forget that sometimes, right? There, you know, you can get situations, you can get contacts without it being in those situations, just from reading those books and having that dialogue.
Yeah, I have a saying: you are the CEO of you, and you are the CEO of your university, and you don't necessarily have to wait for product training or persona training. If you're not getting that, go out and get it. And Seth is talking about some ideas to go out and get it. And I'm talking about some ideas to go out and get it. But I think the big point is better understand the people that you're speaking with and their day before you pick up the phone. Okay, let's get a little tactical here. I talk to a lot of people, have opinions on how to do cold calls. This is a big thing that goes on with me on LinkedIn as well, right down to the first 3 or 4 seconds. And so I'd like to step back a little bit, Seth, and maybe you could talk about like a framework. You know, my cold call, Josh, has 3 or 4 parts. You've made more cold calls than probably anyone I know because your technology, we'll get into this a little bit later, allows you to just talk to people more frequently than if you were just dialing. So you've had the opportunity to get a lot of at-bats, and I'm sure you've learned a lot, and your company has a tremendous amount of data on, you know, what keeps people, you know, engaged. So maybe we could start by, you know, is there a framework that you kind of have in your mind in terms of like A, B, and C? Then we can kind of go through each of the parts. But talk a little bit about like high level, do these cold calls have, do you follow like a certain framework when you call, or is it different for different types of people? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I mean, I don't think we want to fit everybody into the same shoebox. So I'm sure it's a little bit different for everybody. I have made 1 or 2 cold calls in my life. I think 2 things that are super important are messaging and list, right? So are we calling the right people? Are we talking to the right personas? Are these our decision makers? Are these our buyers? Are these our executive sponsors? And 2 is your messaging, right? With a cold call, you have that 7 or 8 seconds to engage somebody, right? You can be whoever you want to be on the phone. You can be Bill White. You can be Seth Weinstein. You can be Josh Braun. You can be the CEO, like you say, of yourself. So as long as you're delivering that message and you know you're talking to the right person, you just have to deliver that value prop, build value with them. One thing that I always teach reps is with them, right? You got to tell them what's in it for them. What's in it for me, right? On the other end of the line is a prospect. What's in it for me? You're interrupting my day. You're calling me out of the blue. What am I getting out of this conversation,
Totally. Okay, so let's do this. Let's pretend. So I am a prospective buyer of Connect and Sell. Let's pretend that I'm a, and I used to be. I used to be a VP of sales. So I'm right smack. And believe it or not, I was actually cold. This is an interesting story. I was actually cold called, and it could have been by Seth. It probably was. Back in the day when I worked at Jellyvision, and that cold call led to a demo and led to a sale. So this approach that you're going to hear worked on me, and I'm sure it's worked on a lot of people. But I'd like to, let's try to recreate that. I'll put you on the spot a little bit, Seth. And I'm going to be the VP of sales, and I'm going to pick up, and I want to kind of hear your beats. And then I may switch out of frame and switch back to kind of break the role play to dissect what you're doing. But let's kind of just go through it and see how it feels. I think that'll give people a good sense of how you do it. So I'll go ring, ring, ring. I'll pick up and I'll say, I'm Josh. And then you'll kind of do your thing.
Sounds good.
All right. And I'm gonna do what Tito does, which I think is cool. I'm gonna turn away a little bit to make it look like a cold call. I think I stole this from him. But okay. So ring, ring, ring. Hi, this is Josh.
Hey Josh, it's Seth over at Connect and Sell. I know I'm a bit of an interruption. I was hoping I could get 27 seconds to tell you why I called.
Sure. What's up, man?
So Josh, I believe that we've discovered a breakthrough that helps eliminate the waste and frustration that keeps good sales reps from using the phone effectively or even using the phone at all. Josh, I was hoping I could get 15 minutes on your calendar one day to share the breakthrough with you. What would be better for you, Tuesday morning or Thursday afternoon?
Wait, I'm sorry. What is this about? I'm not quite understanding.
Yeah, so this is Seth with Connect and Sell. We've discovered a breakthrough, Josh, that helps eliminate the waste and frustration when your reps are picking up the phone. Are your reps using the phone now on your team?
Yeah, we have a team of about 8 SDRs, and we are dialing as part of our outbound approach.
Okay, so I don't have to tell you, Josh, when your reps are picking up the phone now, they spend 95% of their time doing $3 an hour grunt work. That is salespeople we all hate doing. They're dealing with gatekeepers and voicemails, phone trees and phone bridges. What we do at Connect and Sell is we eliminate all that waste and frustration, and we give you conversations on demand 100% of the time with your targeted prospect, just like the one you and I are having right now, Josh.
Interesting. That sounds good. Can you send me some information about that?
Yeah, I'd love to send you some information, Josh, but we're the only one in our space. This is truly revolutionary. What I'd like to do, if you're okay with, send you a calendar invite for maybe Tuesday morning. We can spend 15 minutes. I'll follow that calendar invite up with a little bit of information about our company. If everything looks good, you accept the meeting invite. We'll talk more then. If not, you shoot me a note back, and we'll see, and we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Okay, and your email address, Josh, is jbraun@...
And scene. And hopefully, guys, that gave you a little sense of it. Now, Seth, one of the things that I noticed that you did that I'd like to talk to you about, we'll talk about messaging because there's messaging and tonality. You were a little amped up, like you were kind of confident and amped up and energetic. Some people that are listening to this might think, oh my God, that sounds a little car salesman and too energetic. Other people might be like, yeah, you have to be excited to kind of bring that energy forward. Do you vary that based on the tonality of the person that you're speaking with, or is that always your sort of, you know, kind of go-to energy there?
Yeah, so you got to mirror your prospect, right? We talk about mirroring all the time. When I was younger, I had a guy that mentored me, and he did it based on region, right? I live in the South now, but I'm from New York. People in New York obviously were fast talkers. Everything's quick on the go. In the South, a little bit more laid back, a little bit slower. So you want to mirror whoever you're talking to. So whatever the pace is, but you never want to change that excitement and that passion. No matter who I'm talking to, I'm always going to have a certain level of energy. I'm always going to have that passion, and I'm always going to be energetic and super excited about my product or service.
And now you also mentioned in terms of your language and phraseology, use the word breakthrough. Some might say, that feels a little like salesy, like the breakthrough thing, like it feels a little jargony. Why did you choose that word in particular? Because I know your messaging is very important, and you're very deliberate in terms of the words you choose. Obviously, you have 7 or 8 seconds, but why the word breakthrough? Because it feels like it's, some would say, maybe generic or superficial.
Yeah, for us at Connect and Sell, we truly believe that we have a breakthrough that nobody else has heard, nobody else has seen, and nobody else in our space is doing. So that's why we use that word breakthrough. We want to separate ourselves from the rest of the noise and let people know, hey, this is revolutionary. This is a breakthrough. Are you going to step outside the box and do something that's going to 10X your sales team? That's why we use that word.
Understood. There was also some, you probably know about the Vorsight 3x3, you know, thing where I do some research prior to the call. I noticed that you didn't do that on this call. I know it's a role play, but what is your thought on that? You know, taking 3 minutes and the calls usually go like, hey, was on your site or was on your LinkedIn profile and noticed you're this or that. And based on that, I'm giving you a call. What's your perspective on that? I noticed you didn't do it on this role play. Do you do that as a best practice? Or what are your thoughts on the sort of 3x3?
I think it's the biggest waste of time. So you research a company, you sit down at 9 o'clock in the morning, you research a company for 3 minutes, LinkedIn, whatever that looks like, you pick up the phone, you get a voicemail. Now you just wasted 5 minutes. Now we do it again, 3 minutes, LinkedIn, voicemail, LinkedIn, voicemail, LinkedIn, gatekeeper. Now you've wasted 4 hours of your day doing meaningless research. What were you going to tell the person on the phone? Hey, your favorite team is the Jets, go Jets, right? You're not adding it, there's no value there. I know the weather is nice here. I'm here, right? Quit wasting that time. Quit updating your CRM with every single dial. Have conversations that are meaningful with the right people and deliver your message.
What happens if the research is based not on something like the Jets, but something that you've observed, you know, maybe about their site? You know, so for instance, hey, I was on your site, noticed that you guys are working with, you know, these mobile app retargeting companies like X, Y, and Z. Have an idea that might be able to get you in front of some more of those. What if it was more like based on that? Do you think there's value in that or still, you know, sort of a waste of time even go through the motions?
Yeah, waste of time. So we know it takes 23 dials, 23 and a half dials to get to one targeted conversation. So think about what that looks like at 3 minutes a clip times 23 before you talk to one person. Now you've wasted 60 minutes to have one conversation. So how many times are you going to be able to even have that conversation through the course of we call it an 8-hour day, right? But we take an hour for lunch. We're in the bathroom. We're chatting with our neighbor. We're looking at the sports page. We're on Google. So that's why reps and companies are only having 2 or 3 conversations a day, dialing the phone manually, because they have all this waste and frustration that goes along with it.
Totally. All right, let's talk now about objections, because I would imagine that's the bulk of what happens after you go through your, you know, initial opening and your pitch, so to speak. I would imagine the most common objections, what are, I'm not interested, send me some information. Are those the kind of two big ones on a cold call?
Yeah, I'm not interested, send me some information. You know, the typical blow-offs, I don't have budget, things like that. So yeah, those are common with everybody.
So if someone says, let's kind of go through some of those. So if someone says, I'm not interested, how do you sort of diffuse that? Someone says, hey, I'm not interested. You kind of go through that whole thing.
So you want to listen, right? So you say, hey, Seth, I'm not interested. Hey, Josh, I hear you. Most people aren't interested. But let me ask you this. Do you have reps that are using the phone?
I do.
Yeah. And then you just drop that wall down. You engage them. You ask them open-ended questions. And then we continue the process and you get to move forward.
So it sounds like what you do is sort of redirect. You kind of listen, and then your approach is to ask a question to sort of just keep going as if they never even objected before.
So you want to accept the objection, let them know, hey, I hear you, I understand that. And then what you want to do is re-engage them with questions and answers that you know that are important to them, right? So if I'm talking to a VP of sales, I know conversations are important to him because I know he's got a team that's dialing the phone. That's where I'll go first. I know revenue and top of funnel is important to him because he's managing that on a daily basis. I'll go to that next. So we just make sure we're touching on the points that are relevant to each person. But make sure, you have to make sure as reps, as young reps, you let them know, hey, I understand you, Josh. I hear what you're saying, but what about this?
So if they say to you something like, you know, let me run how I do it, and I want you to critique me, because this would be great practice for me. So the way that I typically will do it, if I cold call and I'm selling, you know, sales training services essentially to help reps, you know, book more meetings, and they say, you know, I'm not interested, I'll typically say something like this. Not a problem. Is it a timing thing, or is this just not a priority for you right now? What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Do you think that's a little weak, or?
It's weak for me, right? Because that's just not my personality. But it might work for you, right? So that's why I talked about not being in a shoebox with everything, right? So what works for me might not work for you, and what works for you might not work for me. This whole LinkedIn thing where we talk on LinkedIn about, hey, we all have to do it this way, or cold calling is dead, or this is dead, or this is, like, that's, That's silly. We all know that's silly.
So in your team with your SDRs, it sounds like you give people the flexibility to be able to sort of do these things their own sort of style. But if they're stumbling, maybe then you kind of jump in and help them out a little bit.
Yeah, so we want to tighten the messaging yet, right? But what I say is I want you to bring your personality to the messaging.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want you to be a robot. We're going to hone in on that messaging, and there's certain things that we definitely want to hit on and we definitely want to say, but I definitely want each one of my reps to have their own personality in that elevator pitch.
Last topic, script or no script? That's another one that people, you know, should we be writing scripts? Let's say we're new SDRs, they're coming on. Should they have the scripts? Should they be reading them initially when they're starting to train? Should they not have the scripts? Tell me a little bit about how you feel about that.
Yeah, especially for new reps, script is mandatory. But new reps should not be writing scripts, nor should be writing emails. So scripts should be written by management, VP of sales, your line managers, experienced reps that know the messaging, know the product. But as a new rep or an SDR that's coming on board, you definitely want to have a script to follow. The good thing about the script is it just gives you a foundation, right? And then where you go from there, that's when your personality starts to take over. As you get more experienced and more seasoned, you'll add, you'll delete, and that script will go in 3 or 4 different directions, but you got to have that base. I mean, I've been doing this for 25 years. I still work off of a script. Now, do I use it word for word like a robot? Of course not, right? I'm more experienced than that, but I still use the basis of the script.
Seth, if someone wants to find out about your company, like, let's give the plug. So you kind of did it a little bit in the role play, but someone wants to know a little bit about what you do, how to get a hold of you, what value you bring. Go ahead and give the little 30-second commercial.
Yeah, so Connect and Sell, we deliver conversations on demand with your targeted prospects 100% of the time. We help you fill the top of the sales funnel, eliminate the waste and frustration of dealing with those gatekeepers and those voicemails and those phone trees.
Awesome. Seth, thank you so much for jumping on the show and imparting pure gold for our listeners.
Josh, I appreciate you having me. It was a blast. I'm honored to be on the show, and I hope your listeners at least learned one or two things from me.